Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
104.5 The Zone with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
This is the Midday 180.
Served up by Wendy's on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Glad you're with us. We broadcast live today in Franklin, the Logo Brand's 11th annual warehouse sale. You can stop by today until 6 p.m. tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Literally the only 2 days that you can take advantage of this warehouse sale, today and tomorrow. Until 6 p.m. today, 8 to 2 tomorrow.
You can knock out a lot of Christmas.
I wonder what percentage they sell of their gear in here in those 2 days.
You know, there's a lot of people here, but the lines move incredibly fast.
They really notice that. They manage it well. They do. You never feel crowded. It's so big.
Oh, it's so
big. You just never feel like people are all on top of you.
Huge kid zone, outdoor camping section as well. Plus, they have Titans and Predators gear, Balls, Vandy, MTSU, TN, TriStar logo items. Again, tons of local teams, but across the SEC, the NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, it's all here.
It's just right next to us. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Michigan State, Michigan, LSU, Georgia. Just go straight down the list. They have different stations for every team.
You know, every once in a while I look at a TriStar thing and think about it, and then I'm like, I'm not there yet.
How long have you lived here?
I've lived here since 1997, but I just feel like people would look at me in that and feel like it was disingenuous.
See, this is where when people call in and say, move back to Jersey, you're like, Chief, I've been here since 1997.
I don't think I'd wear a hat with the outline of New Jersey on it, but I wouldn't wear a TriStar hat either.
You're somewhere in between?
Yeah. I need a combo hat. Somebody whip me up a combo hat with 3 stars around the state of New Jersey.
House divided, Rutgers and Vandy. You need one of those license plates. They made one.
Paul wants a hat with the Mason-Dixon line on it. That's what he wants.
Arrow pointing north.
Clay's about to come on. This is one of the best suggestions I ever had. This was when Clay and I were still both relatively new on the air, and somebody suggested a Saturday one-hour show with Clay and I called Mason Dixon.
Clay Travis joins us, presented by thehomeloanexpert.com. Clay, do you remember those negotiations?
I don't remember that negotiation. I think it's a funny idea. Look, I'll do anything if you pay me enough money. So
it would have been good.
I've never pretended anything else.
So, Clay, I'm watching the back and forth between Donald Trump and Jim Acosta on the press conference. And I start thinking about the sports way to look at this when there's a press conference that goes south like this, and we've seen plenty in sports. Is there any way now, and I'm looking at Matt Patricia also, who called out a reporter, and it did not go well for him with the reaction. Is there any way for a coach to win when they challenge the media and try to take the microphone from them and do everything else? Is there a way to play it where you can pit us versus them and somehow win with your base?
It's a really good question because politicians do it all the time, right? Politicians say you can't trust the media. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Has there ever been a head coach? I think it would have to be college because I don't think it would work very well in pro sports. And also all the media immediately gangs up against the coach. And I think coaches fear bad publicity more than politicians do, which may be ridiculous, but, I think, you know, the people who are getting attacked for political reasons, they can spin it as, oh, the reason they're attacking me is because of what I'm saying. Whereas when you get attacked as a coach, ultimately all that matters is your wins and losses. So you can't be like, oh, they're attacking me because they don't like what I'm saying. They're gonna be like, no, they're attacking you because you should have gone for it on fourth down or because you've lost 4 straight games. So I don't think there is a bottom line business in sports that doesn't exist in politics because that's one reason I think people respond well to sports. You have an ultimate result, right? Like arguing right now over whether tax cuts make sense I don't think there's a definitive answer, right? So you just end up going around and around in the circle, and everybody ends up making the same arguments that they always make. The Titans beat the Cowboys. So nobody comes in and says, like, oh, what do you think about that Titans performance against the Cowboys? The coach can't be like, oh, the media is after me because they don't, you know, I mean, there's a bottom line business. There is an element of fact that is in the, you know, in undefeatable, that you can't challenge. And I don't think that exists in politics. I'm trying to think, like, the most uncomfortable probably press conference that has existed in Nashville, you were sitting beside me, right?
Yes.
When I questioned the Titans, you know, 800 years of coaching acumen or whatever they were saying that they had with Steve Underwood, that's probably the most conflict that has ever existed in, I would imagine, a Nashville area sports press conference. And I remember as soon as it finished, I don't know if you remember this, I turned to you and I was like, how do you think that's going to play?
Yeah.
And you were like, I don't know. And the result was, I think most people liked it. You know, most people liked that the Titans were challenged. And I don't think that impacted me in a negative way at all. I think it kind of can depend on the situation.
Clay, Hutton actually posed this question earlier to me. Titans opened, I know, as a 6.5-point underdog against the Patriots. Tennessee opened as a 3.5-point underdog against Kentucky. And most people believe I'm crazy for saying this, and you may say the same thing. I have more confidence in the Titans beating the Patriots at home than I have in the Tennessee Vols playing well at home and beating Kentucky in football. Am I crazy?
I don't know that you're crazy. I mean, I think for me, let's go to both games, right? I think in the Titans, the questions are almost all on the side of the Titans, right? I feel like just about everybody knows. I was looking. It's been 16 years since the Titans beat the Patriots, all the way back to 2002. I actually won a car on the field. That was when I did my go on the field and catch all the punts and then draw
Monday Night Football game, right?
Yeah, it was the Titans, Patriots, Monday Night Football game.
I was there.
Quick aside, what were the tax implications on that?
I didn't make any money then, but you have to pay, I was a law student, so I didn't have hardly any income, but I had to, so it wasn't like, it was substantial to me. I mean, I sold the boat to pay the taxes, but that comes to you as income. So I think the vehicle at that time had like a $36,000 purchase price that it would have cost. So that counted to me as $36,000 in income. Now, I also won a boat, and I sold the boat and then paid my taxes with the boat money. So, I got I ended up getting the car free and clear, but a lot of people don't think about that on Price is Right or whatever else. When you win those prizes, you owe the dollar value of the tax in order to take on those prizes. I think the two questions are, can Mariota extend and continue to build on the last two games he's had, which have been really good, and I think not coincidentally have come with him getting healthier? And the second part of that is, and I think it's a good question, is the Titans defense legitimately the number one type scoring defense in the NFL? I don't know about you guys. I'm kind of stunned that the Titans have the best defense in the NFL, because when I have watched them play, at no point in time have I thought this defense is an iron wall. There's no way this team's going to be able to drive against them. Now, to their credit, they've limited the number of touchdowns they have given up, but I don't feel like I did even back when they had a really good defense and were 13-3 and, you know, had the number one overall seed. I felt like that defense was going to get off the field when it was an important third down position game. I feel like what we saw against the Titans against the Bills is kind of like the defense that I think. When somebody really needs to get a first down against them, I still feel like it's going to happen. So those two things are both on the Titans side of the ball. The Patriots are what we think they are. I don't really think we know about the Titans. On the UT Kentucky game, I actually think this is going to be a really low-scoring game, and I think the line getting up to 6 was crazy. Kentucky got up to 6. I think it's bounced back down to like 5.5. Kentucky has not beaten Tennessee by a touchdown or more since 1981. All right? There are tons of people listening to you guys right now who were not born then. I do think that factors in on some level in a game like this, because whereas when Florida comes into town, I think Tennessee gets so excited and so hyped and so ready, and also at the same time so scared. They're like Elizabeth Berkley back in the day. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. You know, in the Saved by the Bell episode, Jesse Spano. That's Tennessee when they play against Florida every year. And as a result, like, they just kind of lose it themselves. Like, you know how a puppy runs in, and when a puppy gets excited and just pees all over itself? That's what Tennessee does every year when Florida comes to town. I don't think you're going to see any of that with Kentucky. I think Tennessee's going to be like, yeah, Kentucky's coming to town. We beat Kentucky. And they might lose, but I don't think they're going to be intimidated or overwhelmed. Remember last year, you had the worst team in the history of Tennessee, and they lost by only 3 points on the road in Lexington. And that's literally the worst football team Tennessee has ever put on the field on the road in Lexington. I think Kentucky is the little dog that pees itself when Tennessee runs onto the field still. And so I think the psychology advantages are with Tennessee. I think for you, Withrow, because you do local radio in Nashville, what you're really afraid of right now and telling me is you don't want to have to hear from Kentucky fans. If they win this game, you have to do a whole week hearing from Kentucky fans. It's kind of like the Vanderbilt game in the years past before Vanderbilt actually got equal to Tennessee. It's not really a game where you feel like Tennessee had very much to gain, and the pain of having to talk about the loss was more significant. I think that's where you are. I actually like Tennessee. I think Tennessee's going to beat Kentucky in this game.
104.5 The Zone, Nashville's home for the NFL. Sunday Night Football, Cowboys and Eagles. Sunday night at 6:30 on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Clay Travis with us, presented by thehomeloanexpert.com.
So, Clay, the Kevin Byard celebration on the score. There were three reactions to this. Kevin Byard planned it. He loved it. Teammates seemed to love it. Jason Witten on the broadcast said, you know, that's all fine and dandy, but let's have a few more great seasons in the league before you try to pull something like that if you're Kevin Byard. And then Mike Vrabel on the other side said, yeah, that's not what we're about. You can go celebrate with your teammates in the end zone. I don't want someone on their own running away to go celebrate like that. And he really came down hard on Kevin Byard and told him that it's not going to happen again. Where do you fall on a celebration like that?
I don't mind it. My only concern would be, and I would think Vrabel would know this better than anybody, does it lead to cheap shots? And with a quarterback who has been prone to injury, the last thing I want somebody to do, like in baseball when you're throwing at each other, the last thing I want somebody to do is decide to take it out on Marcus Mariota because Kevin Byard decided to celebrate on the star. It didn't seem like that happened. I think younger guys also are maybe not as impacted by the taunting as older guys were. I don't know if that's true, but it seems to me like if you grew up playing video games and talking trash with each other, it's harder to get people riled up today than it might have been in the 1980s. Does that make sense? Like, I think just about everybody has dealt with trash talk at some point. And I always thought it was funny. Like, I remember being back in school, like back in the day, somebody would be like, oh, he's talking about your mom, right? And then you get up in a fight. I'd be like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, I don't care what somebody says about my mom if it's not true, right? I mean, and I've always been that way. So it's hard to get me riled up in general. And I think when somebody says something and it gets you mad, to me, that's a failure of you than it is them. Does that make sense? So I think a lot of guys have gotten mentally tougher in sports such that it's harder to get them mad by just saying something. And maybe I'm wrong about that. But it doesn't seem like trash talk has the same appeal. And to me, if trash talk works, that's a failure of you, not the failure of the person who's doing the trash talk.
Is the power of the symbol surprising to you? I mean, that it's a blue star that represents a team that hasn't won since, I think, 95. But its staying power and its meaning is awfully impressive. I'm surprised by that. Probably I shouldn't be.
I'm surprised by it from a pro sports perspective where everybody is effectively a mercenary and you will change the logo on your jersey if anybody pays you enough money. I'm not surprised when it works, say, for like a college. You know, like to me, when you pick a college, it's a personal decision. Like I'm choosing to go here. I heard you guys talking about the TriStar, like the Tennessee flag or the big T at the power T that's on in Tennessee or the UK or whatever else it is. that to me seems more directly connected to the state and the institution than, you know, so Baker Mayfield planting his flag at the center of Ohio State, like that is more of an insult to me than Baker Mayfield running around and like tomahawk chopping after he beats the Chiefs or something, right? Like, so I think it's funny when people get offended by symbols that exist to make corporations money. You know, there's at least a reason why the state of Tennessee flag exists that has nothing to do with who's making money, right? Whereas the Tennessee Titans sell Titan Up flags to make money. It's funny to me that you would be upset if somebody was like, oh, I'm going to throw that Titans flag, you know, in the garbage. I'd be like, okay, you know, like, well, do whatever you want to with it if you want to buy it. It's like fans burning their own jerseys. It never makes any sense to me.
So, Clay, on the list of fan overreactions to a symbol, the hook'em horns pointed down and how Texas fans treat that, or how Steelers fans treat Kevin or Keith Bullock for stomping on the terrible towel. Which one's worse?
I think that it's dumber, the hook'em horns down, because the hook'em horns down is just a direct response to the hook'em horns up. So it's literally the exact opposite thing. Like, you want your horns up, that's a good thing. We're sawing them off, we're pointing them downward. It's the exact opposite response. I also think it's interesting that you're allowed to do the hook'em horn sign up, but if you turn them down, you get flagged for it. That doesn't make any sense at all to me. Whereas the terrible towel, like, that is an object. I think it's still stupid that the terrible towel exists, and I've obviously made fun of Steeler fans. I think Hutton read hate mail when I wrote about how much the terrible towel sucked years ago. I still think it's stupid, but that is a response, like when Keith Bullock's stepping on it or whatever else. I'm not surprised that got people upset. I see what Bullock did as a step beyond just like turning down. Like, to me, somebody getting another object and waving it around their head is basically the equivalent of what the hook 'em horns down sign was.
Clay, you've written about, I know you've posted on Twitter about The Athletic. Now, we all here are fans of the work done at The Athletic. As a sports business media model, is this something that can sustain, or does this to you look like a company that's building up to get sold?
I think it's certainly a company that's building up to get sold. I don't know. I understand the desire for subscription-based businesses, and I love the idea of writers getting paid in order for their writing to be out there. I'm not a subscriber to The Athletic, and I don't think that personally I have missed information that I would otherwise have had as a result of not being a subscriber, right? I am a subscriber to Rivals, and 24/7. And I think both of those sites, from a recruiting perspective, give me something that I wouldn't otherwise know. So I'm a big believer in order to succeed as a business, you have to give somebody something that they want that they don't already have. And maybe you can convince them that they need it, which is part of marketing, but ultimately you have to be providing something that they want that they don't already have. Now, if you told me that everyone was going to agree not to give any Titans coverage for free or any University of Tennessee coverage for free, and I couldn't find it, hear it, read it anywhere else, I think there's certainly a demand for that. But to me, the recruiting 24/7 and Rivals basically exist for recruiting sites, right? I don't need to read anything other than their recruiting information, because that isn't readily apparent and available everywhere, at least not in my experience. Whereas I don't think that there's somebody out there who's got some incredibly unique University of Tennessee news that they're breaking over and over again behind a paywall that I'm otherwise not going to know about.
If I was dropping a hundo on something this weekend, what should it be?
A couple of games that I love. I love the over on Vandy Mizzou. I got in on that one early. It's 60. I think it's up to like 63 now. I think both teams will score a lot of points. It wouldn't surprise me if Missouri put up 45 or so on Vanderbilt. The Vanderbilt defense has not been very good. I like Tennessee plus 5.5. I like the under on Texas A&M, and they've got Ole Miss coming to town. All three of those I think are good plays. If you want one tonight, Louisville Syracuse, or they're playing the Friday night game in the ACC. I like Syracuse to win big. The line's 20.5 right now, and I like the over to hit in that game. So those are some of the – I've got a bunch of plays in college football, obviously, that I love, but those are the ones off the top of my head.
You got a general batting average on your football season picks this year?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I put them all up on Wednesday. So I'm a 57% winner. That's an extraordinarily good number. Some people are like, well, you know, 52% is winning. So you got to win 52 to win on the big there. But I think a lot of people don't really know gambling. If you could consistently win at 57% every week, you'd end up richer than Warren Buffett. I mean, that's not hyperbole. If you could win 57% of the time for the next 20 years, you would turn into like a 100 millionaire billionaire.
Then you could run for Senate?
Then I could run for Senate.
Clay, someone just tweeted us the link for the 3-hour lunch, Terrible Towel Hate Mail with Hutton. It was January 27th, 2011.
Wow.
Couple of kids.
How about that?
I can't believe. Sometimes these years run together, and there are certain things that happen, in all honesty, and I'm like, I can't believe it's been 8 or 9 years. I mean, even now, I sit back and I'm like, I can't believe it's been 20 years since Tennessee won the national championship against Florida State. I was looking at the pictures last night from when I went on the field and won the car at the Titans game in 2002. And I was like, man, I can't believe it's been 16 years since then. So I used to be, when I started doing radio, I remember being like, I hated when people would talk about old players or whatnot. Now I'm turning into that old guy. Like, I remember a lot of different games. And I see it through my kids now. They're like, I don't want to talk about anything that happened more than 3 years ago, Dad, because I don't remember it. And so it's always a balancing act. I think when you do sports talk radio or write or whatever else, what audience are you writing for? Somebody who doesn't even know who Tim Tebow is, which sadly there are a lot of people out there now who have no idea who Tim Tebow is. Doesn't seem that long ago to me, or God forbid, you know, can't even remember Peyton Manning when he was playing at Tennessee.
Clay, this is a tweet.
Let me mention this. This is something I think everybody should get behind. Don't you think that the beer barrel should come back in the Tennessee-Kentucky rivalry?
Yes.
Remember how awesome that used to be?
They'd
run around with the beer barrel and had the score written on it. Phil Fulmer has to miss the beer barrel. I mean, as a guy who loves rivalries and everything else, it reminds me of, like, I think we've gotten way too hypersensitive on a lot of these things. I don't think that having a beer barrel means that college kids are going to drink more. And I certainly don't think that, you know, like back in the day, they changed the name from the Washington Bullets to the Washington Wizards. They're like, oh, we don't want to connote like gun violence. I'm like, come on. You really think there's a lot of people out there firing guns in Washington, D.C. that would otherwise not do it because now they're the Wizards? I want to start, and somebody wrote me, the reason why I'm thinking about this is I'm working on my mailbag right now, and somebody just wrote, and I want to put this out there because I think you guys would also love it, and I bet callers would too. I understand UT still has the beer barrel. Why wouldn't Fulmer just roll it out tomorrow, unannounced, call it the barrel? He might not want to do it this year because Tennessee might lose. But just say it's there for the taking. If Kentucky wins and doesn't want it, we'll keep it. I think that would be awesome. I love the rivalries that exist in college football. And I think just about everybody out there listening right now, Kentucky or Tennessee, who remembers the days of the beer barrel, would think that was awesome if the beer barrel got back and got sent back and forth and whoever won got to keep it on their campus. I like those kind of rivalry games. This one doesn't feel fake because it's been going on for so long. I think we should bring it back.
I say winner chooses either to butt chug it themselves or if the loser has to butt chug it.
I think just this idea that everything is connected and somehow, like, oh my God, college kids are going to be more likely to drink because Tennessee and Kentucky are playing for the beer barrel.
Yeah, it's just call it the barrel. You're fine. Call it the barrel.
Yeah, they need to bring that thing back. I can close my eyes and still see that thing with the orange on one side, the white in the middle,
when you were
the blue on
it.
The other side, and the. The scores in each year written on it.
Yeah.
Clay, Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, sponsors this segment. I talk about Ryan all the time. He can do a lot of things for people out there considering buying a home.
He can, and it's crazy. We were talking about how quickly the time's passing. I can't believe we're 13 days from Thanksgiving. And if you're anything like me or your family is anything like mine, the day after Thanksgiving, your credit card starts to explode because that's Black Friday, and that's when all the Christmas presents start to roll in, all the obligations that any family has. And a lot of times you get behind the eight ball there. You end up spending more than you anticipated. That 20%+ interest on a credit card will hang over your head. Why not avoid that stress right now and go ahead and wipe out all your credit card debt and get a great new mortgage refi, get a 3% or 4% mortgage rate, which is tax deductible and knock out that 20% credit card interest hanging over your head as you move into the holiday. Put your financial house in order in time for the new year at thehomeloanexpert.com. My guy Ryan Kelly will take care of you. If you live in Nashville, we're all fortunate. The home values and you own a home here have been increasing at a high rate. Why not take advantage of the equity you've built and put your financial house in the strongest possible order it can be? thehomeloanexpert.com.